May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord our God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Transfiguration Sunday has got so many different messages, but Luke is the gospel that is the only one of the synoptic gospels that does it within prayer time. The rest of it was just something that happened. And so for me, what that teaches me right off the bat is that prayer, if we do it, prayer transforms. Prayer transformed Jesus, so prayer certainly transforms us as well. Faith in Jesus transforms us. If we have true faith in Jesus, it transforms us. When we have a relationship with our Lord, when we have a relationship with Jesus, that transforms us. What does that mean? It changes us. We can't be face to face with the living God and stay the same. All of us change when we're within the presence of God, when we pray, when we have faith, when we worship and have a relationship with the Lord. So it starts off, and while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became dazzling white. And I have to admit, that always gives me a smile, because I think Tide would love that as a commercial, you know, because it does. It got all bright, and it was amazing. And the two disciples, the apostles, they were exhausted, but they stayed awake. So if we use that as an analogy, like for us, sometimes we get weighed down with sleep sometimes, with illness, with troubles, with stresses and strain. But if we keep faithful, if we stay awake, the analogy is staying awake. If we try to pay attention to the Lord and focus on Jesus, good things happen, because then we observe and we learn and we grow. So what happens? They see two men, Moses and Elijah. Well, we know that from the Old Testament, Moses gave the law from God. Elijah was the best of the best of the best prophets. So for them to see Jesus talking with Moses and Elijah, it was like an affirmation. Because these two men were the pinnacle of the Jewish tradition and Bible. But then we learn a little bit more. They were talking to Jesus about his departure. So another kind of like commonplace, but in a way it's true. They were kind of being encouraging, almost like cheerleaders, telling Jesus, you're on the right path, it's going to be difficult, but God is with you. God the Father has sent us to be encouraging and comforting, because you will accomplish this. You are the Messiah. And so while they were there, and after they saw all of this, what happens? Peter says, Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Well, that wasn't an awful thing to say, but Peter, even though he had confessed that Jesus was the Messiah, the Son of the living God, he wasn't still understanding. He wasn't quite getting it, that Jesus was superior to Moses. He was superior to Elijah. Jesus is the final word. He's the one that we listen to, that he kind of like interprets the Old Testament for us. He shows us the true nature of God the Father. Jesus is, he embodies the Word of God. And so, what happens? Well, the idea of the shelters is that at that time, there's a festival in Jerusalem, and they were called booths, and they were temporary. So what Jesus is, what Peter is saying is that, okay, I'll build you a temporary shelter, one for Elijah, one for Moses. But that's where he wasn't getting it. So what happens next? God Almighty sends a cloud, and the voice of God comes from the cloud, and he says, "This is my son, the chosen. Listen to him." And when all of this had happened, and they opened their eyes, the cloud was gone. Who was there? Jesus, the Messiah. That's who was there. The apostles learned that we're to listen to the Lord. Nothing else is better than to listen to the Lord. And also we learn that the apostles and all of us, another analogy, it's not to be temporary. It's to be 24/7, full time. We are to be his witnesses full time. We are to be housing the Lord in us, in showing that in everything we say, we do, we write, we how we act, how we what we do for others. It's to be full time and as Christ-like as we can. The fact that God Almighty spoke to the apostles again was affirmation to the apostles. He's telling them, listen to Jesus. So God leaves nothing confused. God Almighty clears up any confusion that Peter had at that point. I found a paragraph just by accident, and I really liked it because for me, it shows that transformation and then the help we get is not just to be comforting for us and leave us in wherever we are, but for us to grow and to get out of it, and even more, to help others, you know, to get out of it and to change their ways. But not that we're to be pointing fingers, but to show Christ in the world. So here it is. It's by Virgilio, I'm not sure if that's pronounced right, Elizondo. God chooses an oppressed people, not to bring them comfort in their oppression, but to enable them to confront, to transcend, and transform whatever in the oppressor society diminishes, destroys, and destroys the fundamental dignity of every human being. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, as we learn to grow, to pray, to have more faith in you, we ask that you, as you comfort us, you help us to be encouraged, to be transformed, and to be able to change others by being what you want us to be. Help us to grow, to learn your will, and to do your will. And help us, like St. Paul in the lesson we heard today, to serve you and to make every effort to love you, to serve you, and to follow the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.